Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 142. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
It's going to be a little bit of a lighter week this week. At least for me, there's some games that came out that have been taking up a lot of my time. And also, like, just we're still going through Six Feet Under. I don't know if I've mentioned that on here yet.
Oh, no.
Well, maybe we'll talk about that at some point tonight. But yeah, it's a lighter week. But Chris, you did get to go see the latest Saw film, simply titled Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Tell me all about it. I know almost nothing.
Yeah, so what's it? It's been, what, seven years?
Has it really? Since part seven?
Yeah.
Wow.
And those films, the first seven films were all back to back every year. So yeah, it's been a little while. Jigsaw is, the eighth film in the series, $10 million budget, did pretty good. Wow. Did, that's, you know, that's fairly cheap for a movie. Made 16. Yeah. Over the weekend, was the number one movie. I think it's made 32 worldwide so far. So it's made money, which probably means we get more of these, which is a shame because
oh no,
this one's not good. Which I mean that there's an argument to be made about the series as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it a little bit later in the episode. But you're a fan of the series, right?
Yeah, I generally like them. I like the convoluted continuity. Like that's something that like a lot of like horror films try to do that like continuity. Like they tried to add some stuff into Friday the 13th. Nightmare has some, Halloween has some, but Jigsaw, for all its issues, has like, while it's convoluted, actually has like a really like smart, well done like backstory behind all the horrible shit that's going on. It's actually pretty smart. This like retcons like a bunch of stuff. So the first seven films like kind of they focused on Tobin Bell, who was John Kramer or the Jigsaw Killer. He dies at the end of the third movie, spoilers. And
he's, and somehow they've made four more.
Yeah, they made five more. Now. Yeah, but four more after he died, because he had started to, in the third one, they kind of introduce one of the people to Amanda, who was in the second one. She is like a follower of his.
Protégé.
Yeah, and he had been building up other ones too. So, that's where like 4, 5, 6, and 7 kind of fall in. I'm not going to get into that right now, but this loops back. So it takes place 10 years, I believe, 10 years after Saw 3D, which was the final chapter, Saw 7, in 2010. At that point, Jigsaw and all of his cronies seem to be gone. The killings have stopped. But now they've started up again. And why? Like this, you're following like a police, a couple police officers as they're trying to track this down. There's a couple of people that work in the morgue, medical examiners, that they kind of like, they're a little sketchy and they're not really sure what's going on with them. And then there's a lot of flashbacks to Tobin Bell, who plays Jigsaw, from the main series. But you're not really sure what's going on ever. Like they're throwing misdirections at like maybe it's this guy, maybe it's this lady, maybe, like it's all kind of stupid. And it turns out that the guy who it was somebody who had been with him since the beginning. Like he helped him make traps since the very first one, we're just like, what? like out of all of these followers of his, like, how is this the one that, like, we never caught on? And like, and I guess they're trying to reset it. This is going to be, he's going to be the main character, I guess, going forward, if they, and they probably will, being as it made decent money. And these are cheap to make. I guess he's going to be the new face of the series. And honestly, he's kind of boring. but anyway, what these films always come down to, I like the analogy you used when we were talking about Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
It's basically a musical. You want to see the kills. And Jigsaw has always had interesting kills because it's, they're like Rube Goldberg traps, right? Like puzzles to figure a way out. Which when we talk about Saw 1, because you watched that.
Yeah.
Kind of want to like briefly touch on the series, but it got away. Like, one of the things that the series always had and started with the first one was that the trap, there was a way out. Like,
yeah, it's a game.
Yeah. Like it's not going to feel good. You're probably going to end up hurt, but you can win. That's something the series got away from in like some of the middle ones. This does get back to that a little bit, but the traps are way more outlandish. They're fucking absurd. And a lot of it is, you know, the series has always been like, oh, there's a twist, and at the end it kind of like pieces everything together for you. And sometimes it makes zero sense because it tries to piece together things from like 2, 3, 4 films. This is trying to piece together everything all at once, and it does a whole lot of misdirection with timelines and when things are happening. And so the game that you're watching with these five people isn't necessarily going on in real time, which I think is kind of a letdown, like, because there's nobody to save. but ultimately, like, the traps are just, they're absurd, but they're not like, they're goofy looking, they're crazy, but they're not fun. Like, they're not like, oh shit, that looks realistic. Like, the, like, locking two people in a fucking, like, abandoned bathroom. Or the bear trap on the head.
Reverse bear trap, yeah.
Like, that shit is, like, scary and almost believable to an extent. Like, granted, like, it starts getting more and more absurd as that series moves on, where he, like, creates, like, a house of horrors in 2 and 3, and it gets even worse as it moves on, like, with the insanity of his traps. But in this one, it's all flash. Like, there's nothing, it's not like, oh, that's cool, like, that's an interesting idea. Just like, oh, let's throw some shit together. And it ultimately ends up being a bit dull. I was kind of bored by it, and maybe some of that is I watched all 7 of them previous to going to see it, so maybe I was burnt out on it a bit, but it is kind of, I just found it to be really dull and not like the restart to the series that I think they wanted it to be. It's just not as fun as I found some of the other movies in it.
And you having rewatched these movies just recently, like, you found some of them to hold up, or like, yeah, you already found them enjoyable, right? So
yeah, I mean, I still like the first three. I think 5 and 6 are okay. 6 was actually really timely at the time. It was
the healthcare debate.
Yeah, the healthcare one. And like some of the twists on that, like where, you know, where things are happening, and it's like what they did, the twists that work in like those movies, it's like, shit, that actually makes some sense. In this one, it's like, you have no connection to any of these characters, and then they throw this twist out at you, and it's like, huh? I've watched all 7 of these movies before. This shit don't make sense. And you're supposed to like be like, oh, like, we should hate this other guy because he's a bad cop. Like, And I get that maybe that can be timely here, but they don't play it up properly. They don't try to make like even the social point that, Six tried to make with, hey, insurance companies are fucking evil bloodsuckers.
Yeah, and you have, I'm guessing, like some better examples this year. Like you have good Get Out and Detroit. I mean, that you want to see a horror movie about a cop, like fucking.
Yeah, so it's like sticking this out, it just seems really lazy. And it's like, oh, like you're supposed to hate this bad cop, but he's not really the bad one. He's not the one that's murdering people for whatever reason. It's never really established either why this guy is doing that. You almost understood to an extent why John Kramer was doing the things he did. As that series moved on, they showed that one, he had cancer. We kind of knew that from the beginning. But also his wife, they lost their baby due to junkies killing, pushing her and hurting the baby, and ultimately they lost their baby. There are reasons that you can see why his descent into this weird vigilante reform could happen, but this guy, it's like I don't see why. But whatever. That's Jigsaw. I don't recommend going to see it, even as a Saw fan. It's a two.
Wow, it's pretty I'm not super surprised it's not great, but it's also like you took 7 years off, like you couldn't do anything better than that, like.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like, oh, we're gonna try the same tricks that we did, but almost scale back a little bit. It's like you had kept getting more and more crazy. I would even respect if they had gone super low budget, super
Like the original,
let's lock some people in a room and that's it. Let's play the game here and you allow the tension to go back and forth.
yeah, I won't be seeing it anytime soon. Maybe on DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did rewatch the original because we were talking about this series a little bit on Twitter and stuff, and I mean I've always been of the opinion it's not a very good series, but I don't know, it's always been kind of a guilty pleasure for me. Like I don't hate them as much as I pretend to hate them, I guess.
Right. They're fine.
I've seen all of them except for 7 and now 8, so I've seen 1 through 6.
Well, you've seen all the ones that are of quality, and you've missed the two worst ones in the series, so.
So I probably stopped at the right point.
Yeah.
But I was giving you shit about in the series and stuff. I was like, I will go back and give the original another shot because by most accounts that's like the best one.
Sure.
So yeah, I watched the original again. It's cool. Like, I mean, it's all, they're all on Netflix, so if you want to go through them, there they are. I think that there are parts of the first one that are really good, actually. Like anything where it's the two guys in the bathroom chained to pipes, I think is good. Like I think
Yeah.
all that stuff is like really good. It really works.
Yeah.
It's
Even with some of the bad acting by both, Cary Elwes is actually a
yeah.
pretty good actor, but he gives a really uneven performance in that first movie. But
Yeah.
it's fun.
Yeah, I mean it's just the situ like their performances are almost secondary to like just the situation they're in. That's like
Yeah.
such a fun like okay, what's the puzzle? What's the way out? What are these guys gonna do? It's just I always like movies that are like two people in a room. Like I just love the idea of finding a way to do something on a super low budget that's like thrilling. And they like James Wan did that here. Like, this is kind of like this movie was like his calling card. Like, hey, like, look, I can do cool shit.
And it is also like for a film that gets lumped into the torture porn genre, a lot. It is surprisingly not really as gory as I remembered it being.
There's not a lot in it. Like, there's not a lot of kills. You know, like a lot of the stuff is in flashback and stuff. And
yeah,
yeah, there is some gore and violence, and you know, you eventually have the song of the foot, but yeah, it's nowhere near like the torture porn that maybe some of the later ones. It's not like Hostel though, where like that was like the point of Hostel.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of agree with the creators of the Saw series that it doesn't really belong in there, because like Hostel, and there are other films that I guess fit this as well, though. Like, those movies are torture for the sake of torture, whereas like there is a reason that these traps are happening. Like, we can consider them torture, but they are not designed just to torture. In most cases, there's a purpose behind them. That purpose is fucked up.
Yeah. Well, but, and you know, it's debatable how, like, there's things in this that stick out, especially after listening to We Hate Movies on it, where they're just like, they were like ripping on it. And I was like, yeah, there's things in it that, like, I don't know. Like, I still think that the reveal at the end is cool. Like, you find out that Tobin Bell was the guy on the floor between the whole movie. I think that's a cool twist, but they're like, there's no point for him to fucking be there, laying there for, like, perfectly still for, like, 8 hours straight or whatever the fuck. They kind of try to explain it in the movie where it's like, oh, he likes a first, like, a front row to this shit.
Yeah, but he could have been watching it from, like, I mean, and he could have put anything in there. I guess, like, the idea is that, like, oh shit, something's happened here before. Like, a game has happened here before, and then he's killed himself, but
it's just, yeah, I mean, it's cool, but then if you start to think about it, you're like, what? Like, but it is, like, it still works, I think. It's still, yeah. Like, I was watching this with my girlfriend who has never seen these movies before, and she was, like, kind of like, whoa, at the ending. Also, funny thing, so, like, you know, you and I watch tons of horror movies and shit, and I've been exposing her a lot to horror movies, but this is one that she was, like, not comfortable. Like, she's seen tons of shit now, and for whatever reason...
This is one that did it.
She found it scary, yeah. Like, she was just asking me to turn it off and stuff.
Because I do wonder if it's because it's grounded. Like, it's something that could happen. Like, it's crazy, but it's also feasible that you could be kidnapped by a fucking nutcase and, like, put in a torturous situation.
Yeah. I think, and on a real basic level, too, I think she found the doll creepy as fuck. Like,
yeah, yeah. That Billy, I think it's Billy, is things fucking weird and creepy.
So, I know, as much as I give the series shit, I have to give it credit on this. She was unsettled by it. Yeah, there's other things that like We Hate Movies point out, like the whole like thing where they're like, he doesn't actually kill you, like, you know, and.
Yeah.
Really, though, like, he kind of does, because he's kind of doing the really fucked up things to people.
Well, right, like, it's like, I do like the whole thing, the whole idea of, like later in the series, like, I abhor murderers. Like, dude, you're putting people in positions where, like, if...
You have to murder each other, or whatever, like,
well,
you know.
Well, I will give him, I know, even then, like, I think he's always, like, maybe not. Maybe there were positions where he always allowed for a chance for everyone to live.
But also a good chance you're going to fucking die.
Yeah, then, like, you know, that's like, the thing.
You have, like, to kill this other guy by 6 a.m. That was, like, a big part of the first one. You have to kill the other guy. Like,
oh, so, right, yeah. I totally forgot that it was like, yeah, you have to...
So to say he's not, yeah. Like... Yeah, he's maybe not pulling the trigger, but he's putting the fucking gun in your hand.
Right.
Wrapping the fucking duct tape around your hand on the gun.
He's making you make a choice between you living or dying.
Yeah. And it's
like, so either way, like, you put somebody in a position where, like, the court would never convict that person. They would convict you for...
And, like, the bullshit morality for why he's doing some of the things he does. Like, one of his victims in the first one is some guy that like called in sick to work. He's like, "Oh, you're acting like you're sick, but I've seen you up and running around." And it's like, okay, we're gonna fucking kill some motherfucker for taking some. Like, I don't know. Maybe the guy had like maybe they're trying to say he like was pretending he had like some disease or something.
Well, I thought that one was that he was like manipulating the insurance system, like he was scamming.
But I mean, I think we're reading into that. I don't think they really say it.
They don't actually say it like that. That was how I took it. But yeah, you're right.
But like, I could get past all that kind of stuff because I do dig the setup of the first one where it's just like, hey, so you guys wake up in a room, they're fucking chained there, they have to figure out what's going on and how to get out. And I think it kind of delivers on that.
Yeah.
I guess what I don't like about the movie, and I think it's what I don't like about the series, is like it has a very early 2000s feel to it where it's trying to be edgy. Like, and I don't know how to describe like how it's doing that, but it just has that vibe to it where it's just like, we are super edgy in capital letters. And I don't know. It comes off as kind of cheesy now. I think that like the whole aesthetic of that, like kind of carries through the whole series from what I remember, but I only rewatched this first one.
It's definitely a like Nine Inch Nails video. Crack.
That's,
like
that's kind of, yeah, exactly. I guess that's what I don't like about it, really. I think that's why I never really became a fan of it. But that first one is all right. Like, on a rewatch, I'm saying it's a solid 3 with, like, despite the fact that it's ridiculous, I think it's a cool twist at the end that, like, the guy who you think is the killer is really just another player of the game. And he's being forced, although at some point that dude could have said that, like, instead of going,
right,
instead of just saying, oh, it's the rules. Like, you think you could have just said at some point, like, look, man, I'm doing this too because I'm being told, don't fucking kill me. Let's try to figure this out. But, like, I have to do what I'm told. Like,
which is funny because I think it's the 4th movie. It's the 4th movie. Same sort of situation. Happens where this guy, and it's like where they're kind of like, oh, you're a fucking killer, and it's like, he's like, he eventually just splurts it out. He's like, dude, I'm fucking like in a bad position too. I got this stupid thing strapped to my head. It's been under my hoodie the whole time. Like, I think they kind of realized, like, hey, like, you could have at least said, hey, I don't have any control over this. I am also in a fucked position.
Another funny thing I just thought of too, like, I mean, I pretty much have said what I had to say about it. It's a 3. It's okay. Like, I just never got into the series, but another thing I thought was funny is the one girl, he like cures of her addiction in this. It's like,
damn,
I don't know, dude, I'd probably be doing more drugs or like
after that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be traumatized and just like drinking myself into a stupor not to like think about it. Like,
spoilers again for anybody that hasn't seen the series, but she becomes like his protege, and she plays into the twist of the second movie.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought it was. But
I enjoy the second one, I think, a little more than the first one. But it's like they just like all wake up in this fucking room, and it's basically like a horror house.
Yeah. Which
each of them have like challenges to get through. So
maybe I will give that one a shot too. I don't think I'm going to go through all of them, but
no, I like, honestly, since you're not like a big fan of it, I would say maybe stop there.
Yeah.
Like after 2. Cuz it gets, they drop off. Like, I think the first 3 actually tell like an interesting story dealing with Jigsaw, the Tobin Bell's character, but after that it starts getting really batty.
Well, I don't think this is a series that didn't need so many sequels. I think that, like, once you kill him,
it could have ended.
And you know, this is not some supernatural fucking Jason bullshit. Like, once you kill him, the series had to find all sorts of weird ways to double back on itself and bring it, what I think is, like, you know, without Tobin Bell, it's not Saw, but you killed him, so now we have to figure out a way to bring him back, and then we're going to fill in his backstory even more.
You bring him back in flashbacks and like videotapes, and but he's no longer the threat in it, so it's just, it becomes a bit absurd. Some of the traps become fun.
Yeah, sure, you know. It's fine for what it is, I guess. But yeah, never been a huge fan, but I do think that the original holds up all right.
Yeah.
Did you get to see anything else this week? Did you watch anything for like Halloween or anything?
I played Super Mario Odyssey on Halloween, but I did watch a little bit of more of Lore, which I don't think we've talked about at all.
No, so this is the Amazon Prime show that is based on the podcast by Aaron Mankey.
Yes.
About real life, like the origin of like
folklore, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some horrific shit, like, but it's all based on, you know, true history. Yeah. It's an interesting approach to it because it's like half his podcast. And then the other half is like some live action
recreation. Yeah, like they'll do recreations of the stories he's telling.
Yeah, and sometimes they're okay. First I was like they're okay, like but I could almost do with like without them. I think it stretches the shows a little bit too long. And I think his podcast is perfectly paced. Like it's normally under a half hour.
Yeah, it's like a half hour with 18 billion ads at the end. So yeah it's like probably 24 minutes or so.
Yeah, it's just like a normal like sitcom type like with commercials, 22, 24 minutes. And I think like he has a really good delivery, but this breaks it up. Like it's so he'll go into a spiel, he'll set up the episode, and then there'll be some of this like live action recreation stuff. And then he'll give more like historical facts and more understanding about like what we're going, but then it like cuts back to that. And some of them work. There's one with like Robert Patrick that I thought was that dealt with spiritualism. I thought that one actually worked pretty well, but there's other ones that are just like you could have cut this whole shit out and I would have been perfectly fine with like the cool animations, the awesome like archive footage and photos that you've dug up and just like shots from like historical books. Like I could have done more with that, but overall I think it's fun. It's a cool little show.
I've heard mixed things, like other people's reactions. I've watched about three of them now. It's funny that you say you like he has a good delivery, because a lot of people I try to get the show into, they'll listen to it for like a minute or two and be like, I can't take this guy. I can't take the way his voice sounds. Like, he has a very kind of robotic voice, like. He's very sure to enunciate every single word correctly.
But I almost think like it works for.
I like it.
What he is like, maybe for a different type of show, it wouldn't work. But it kind of comes off as like this, almost like a. He needs to make sure he gets everything out, and it makes it creepy in a way.
I actually like. It just to me sounds like someone who's reading and they're trying to like make sure that they're not like slurring their words, or you know, like he's just trying to say. I don't know. I have no problem with it. I never have. One problem I do have with the podcast is I listen to podcasts all day at work. It's from like the moment I head out into my route until I'm done with my day, I'm listening to podcasts, and I could, you know, if I'm listening to Slash Filmcast or Giant Bomb or whatever, I have no problem following those. But for whatever reason, on Lore, I zone out and I'm like, okay, what was he just talking about the last 5 minutes?
That might be his delivery, because it's very like monotone.
It's that combined
just him.
Also combined with, like, I'm having to follow a story, whereas most other podcasts I'm listening to are
conversations.
Talk show format almost. So it's, you're not following a narrative. You're just listening to people ramble on about stuff that they like. So I guess what I'm saying is I really appreciate this adaptation because I don't zone out as easily on it because I'm watching it on my TV.
Yeah,
and I actually like, I appreciate the recreations. Like, it, you know, they're not like, it's not like you're watching an HBO drama.
Right.
It feels like a cheap TV show, but like, it's totally fine for what it is. I'm digging it. I will get to the rest of them. I'm enjoying it. One thing I will say, I guess, before we move on from this is like, so have you watched like episode 6 yet, or is that the one you have yet to watch?
That's the last one I have to say.
That is about a famous doll. I forget the name.
Were you jumping around? Like,
Yeah.
Okay.
So that one I watched and I liked it. I forgot the name. It's like something the doll. And it's a real Robert the Doll. And it's a real doll that you could go see in a museum, I want to say in Key West. And I think it's a pretty creepy looking doll. I think it kind of inspired stuff like Child's Play a little bit.
Okay.
But what's interesting is like when you really break down that episode after watching it for an hour, you're like, wait a second. Like if you really stop, like most people at the end will be like, wow, that was really creepy. That's fucked up. But if you really stop and think, nothing happened. Like nothing happened with the doll. Nobody died. Like nothing. It was just like a doll that creeps people out. It's like, so I'm just like, it's weird that like there was like an hour long episode about this doll, which is a real thing. Like it's a real doll. You can go see it in a museum, but like the lore around it is just like, it was creepy. Doll. Yeah. It was creepy. And some lady died in the house, but like, what did it have to do with the doll? Like, I don't know, but, yeah, overall, I'm enjoying it. Trying to think if I watched anything else. I mentioned at the top of the show, we've been watching throughout this whole last month and a half, as we've been going through all the Friday the 13th movies, me and my girlfriend have also been going through 6 Feet Under, which is an old HBO drama aired around the same time as The Sopranos. It's an hour-long drama. The twist on the show being it's about a family that runs a funeral home. Have you ever watched 6 Feet Under?
No. I know it's about a mortuary or funeral home, right?
It's an hour-long family drama, but the family runs a funeral home. That's the twist on it. Do you mind me spoiling 6 Feet Under?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So one thing that's really cool about it is the show deals pretty directly with death and loss and grief and all those things. And another really cool aspect of that is at the beginning of each episode, there's an opening scene where you just see a random person, how they die. And that's the family's next customer that's coming into their funeral home.
Okay.
So you get a random kill at the beginning of every episode. And I think it had one of the best endings to a show ever, especially given the subject matter of what the show is. So, and I'm really upset because I was hyping it up to my girlfriend. Oh, wait, you're not going to believe the ending. Like, she's really digging the show. I'm like, wait till you see the end. End is amazing. I hyped it up so much, she fucking looked up the ending of the show. And I'm like, you just ruined it. But, so, spoilers for a show that ended in, like, 2005. So, like I said, the show is largely about death and loss and all this stuff. And it does something really interesting in its final season. And that is, in the final season, halfway through the final season, the main character dies out of nowhere. Like, he just has a stroke and fucking dies. And the whole rest of the final season is the family going through, losing someone or whatever. It's a very intense way to end the show. Like, and then at the very end of the final episode, they show you how everyone in the family dies. Like, it goes into the future. Like, it'll show, like, one of the main characters as an old person now, and then they'll show how they die. It'll be like, 1985 to, you know, 2036 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it'll just So I think, given what that show is about, as a really, really solid final season and really solid finale, I'm excited to get to again, but it is kind of disappointing that she looked up how it ends. It kind of takes a little bit of my joy out of watching her reaction to it, because she knows what's coming. That's a really good one. I think this show holds up really well. I actually think I like it even more now, 10 years later. Like, the show has aged really well. And because we're nuts, or I'm nuts, once we're done with that, we're going to do The Sopranos. So,
okay.
I got lots of TV episodes in my future, which cuts back on some of my other stuff that I'm watching. Oh, and I guess one last thing I'll mention before we wrap this up, unless something else pops into my mind. Started Stranger Things season 2.
Okay.
You have not. You saw season not, 1.
I did see season 1, yes.
So I don't really want to go into like anything spoilery or anything, but I will say that I like it. Like, I love the nostalgia factor of that show, like all the 80s shit. I love the score. I love the opening theme. I still kind of wish that they did it like they just did a separate story for each season.
Mm-hmm.
Not even using the same cast like American Horror Story does. Like, just do a different story for each season and maybe make it 80s themed. I get why they decided to continue the story from season 1, and that's because of the characters. Like, the characters are super likable. It's like an awesome cast. Like, that group of kids are great, and it's fun to be spending time with them again, I guess.
Right.
So I get why they did it. Like, and of course David Harbour is the cop. Like, he's just a blast. I don't know where it's going 100% yet. It's a lot of the early part of season 1 is like dealing with how things ended at the end of season 1. So, early moments. I'm only on, I think I've watched the first 3, and a lot of it is just dealing with the aftermath of season 1. But they're setting up little things here and there, and you got a couple new cast members that I really like. You have Paul Reiser as a creepy doctor, government doctor guy who you don't know you can trust, which reminds me of Aliens a lot.
Yes.
And you have Sean Astin as a guy that's dating Winona Ryder's character in this. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, Sean Astin and Winona Ryder as like this older dorky couple in it. And I might actually get to meet him in a couple of weeks if I go to that thing I was telling you about. So
that would be cool.
Yeah, it's good so far. It's not like blowing my mind or anything, but it's nice to have it back. I think that just about does it. Like I said, it's a light week. We got consumed by video games, and I've just been busy in general. So,
yes. I may go see Thor this week.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't like the first 2, so. But I'm hearing good things about this one.
And it's, what's his name? That director. I always forget his name. Waititi.
Yes.
Yeah, the director, but he did Hunt for the Wilder People, which is a movie I really liked from last year. Really fun comedy. I'm intrigued. One of my friends wants to go. Maybe it'll happen. I do have one movie I know I will see by next week. And Chris, if you get a chance, check it out. I have not seen it yet. It is called Brawl in Cell Block 99, which I am hearing all sorts of kind of rave reviews of, like, really fun, violent, kind of revenge movie from the director of Bone Tomahawk. So, I'm very interested in that. It's on demand, so I don't even have to go to the theater. So that's I will cool. have that for next week for sure, as well as I want to say Annabelle Creation is coming in the mail, which I know you've reviewed already on here, right?
Yes.
I'm excited to see that kind of, and something else. But yeah, for sure, the big one for me will be Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Nice.
Thor, maybe. So, come back next week and we'll have some new stuff for you.
Movie dudes.